Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Melissa Hyuk, and it's time for part three of our SPAC special. And Singapore's first special purpose acquisition company, or SPAC, VTAC, is set to list here tomorrow, followed by Pegasus on Friday.
And soon after, let's not forget Novotelis. Right, to take a closer look at these upcoming offerings, we're joined on the line now by Nagunan Tiruchelvam, Telemer's Head of Consumer Equity Research. Hello, Nagunan.
How are you this Wednesday, Nagunan? Okay?
I'm well, Rich.
Okay. So, and I think the markets are looking well ahead to what's going to be happening over the next 2 days. We've got Singapore's first SPACs set to list this week, VTAC followed by Pegasus on Friday. What are your thoughts on the upcoming listings?
Both issues are very important for the development of the capital market here in Singapore. The great virtue of SPACs is that SPACs provide investors with the opportunity to acquire positions in companies that were previously restricted to private equity players. If you look at a lot of the high-profile IPOs in the so-called FANG companies, Facebook, Google, Netflix, and so on, the bulk of the gains were made by the very early investors. By democratizing the investment process through SPACs, investors will have a piece of the pie in high growth areas.
Let's look at VTAC first, right? It says it'll focus on six investment themes, which it believes will be at the forefront of technological transformation, and in which the sponsor has deep domain expertise within its ecosystem. And these themes include cybersecurity and enterprise solutions, as well as autonomous driving and new energy vehicles, all the rage currently. What are your thoughts on the above?
Those are sectors that are at the cutting edge of disruption, and it's important for investors to note that there is vast potential in those sectors, and certainly the sponsor has an excellent pedigree as far as those sectors are concerned. However, there are always risks in these high-profile, high-growth industries, and investors need to be aware of that.
That's right. And I mean, let's just, before we get into that a little bit deeper, let's look at Pegasus now, and we'll look at the overall picture of SPACs in a bit. Because Pegasus is concentrating its efforts on identifying businesses and technology-enabled disruptive new economy sectors that have operations primarily centered in the Asia-Pacific. They're looking at consumer tech, fintech, prop tech, insurance tech, health tech, digital services as well. What are your thoughts there? I mean, this, we're looking very tech-related focus for these upcoming SPACs this week.
That's correct. Technology is a vital asset class. In fact, in your description of the sectors, you mentioned medtech, health tech. Technology has basically taken on a life of its own. There's virtually every company in the world is a technology company. So I'm not surprised that these companies or these SPACs are looking to focus in that sector.
Especially post-pandemic, right, Nagunan? We've seen a push towards, I mean, fintech, insurance tech, health tech. It's really boomed on the back of the past 2 years.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, if we turned our attention to Novotelis, which has registered its preliminary prospectus, it believes that the technology and industrial sector in the Indo-Pacific region is well-structured for specialized investors to build superior returns. Do you agree with what they think, and what do you think is the potential there?
The potential is immense in that space. Novotelis has a very good pedigree as well. There again, investors need to be aware that there is a vast addressable market. There is also risks at hand. A lot will depend in a SPAC on the credibility of the sponsor, the judgment of the sponsor in finding appropriate investment targets. So you need to look at it from that perspective very intensely.
And you mentioned the pedigree of these SPACs, and that's something that investors need to keep a close eye on, isn't it, when they're considering whether or not to invest in these new kids on the block. What exactly should they be looking out for when it comes to the sponsors and the backers of these SPACs? I know that you recently wrote an article on this as well.
That's correct. The investment judgment of the sponsor is very important. The domain knowledge of the sponsor. The sponsor, if it's looking to invest in, say, technology, must have had some expertise in investing and assessing opportunities in that space. And finally, possibly the most important out of the three is the ethical standards of the sponsor is important. At the end of the day, the investor is investing in the credibility of the sponsor.
That's right, because these are blank check companies. They've got no history. Essentially, investors are investing in the faith of these sponsors, their faith in these sponsors.
That's correct.
How do you assess or ascertain the ethical standards of these? They're not likely to be putting anything very in particular, right, in the prospectus that's negative, that says, hey, you know, be careful, I'm not always too upfront about everything I say or anything like that, right? So how do you ascertain that? How do you judge?
You need to look at their background. Clearly, the regulator would have done a lot of the assessment, but the investor needs to make its own judgment. And you can look at the credibility of the sponsor by looking at what's disclosed in the offering documentation as well as what's publicly available.
Just talking about the timing of this now, Nirgunan, do you think it's the right time for these SPACs to enter the market?
Yes, it is an important time because the market has turned. The SPAC index is down about 35-40% from its peak, which was achieved in the spring of 2021. Since then, the SPAC index has turned. The tech market has also been under a lot of pressure. That would suggest that once these SPACs raise the funding, they would be out there looking for investment opportunities at a lower valuation that would have been the case 6 months ago.
And if we were to look at this from the perspective of an investor, how have SPACs in other markets been performing, and what do you see as the potential upside for Singapore?
Singapore could become a regional center for SPACs. It's an important moment in the development of the capital market here in Singapore.
And you mentioned that the SPAC markets have turned, though, in other markets. Why is that? I mean, we're still in our very early stages here in Singapore.
Yeah, why do you think Singapore has the potential to become a center?
Singapore has stolen a march over Hong Kong, which is the other regional financial center, in having SPAC issues. Singapore could become the center for Asian promoters of SPAC to come to this market for SPAC issues. We are in the middle of a vibrant region. Mm-hmm. Southeast Asia is on the cusp of a major expansion in tech. So a lot of the action in the emerging markets is taking place right here at our doorstep in Singapore.
We also have a very robust regulator.
That's correct.
And that said, on the back of, I mean, as you mentioned, the regulator would have looked very closely at the SPACs that are coming into market. But from an investor perspective as well, we need to take a long-term view when looking at SPACs, right? Because they've got a two-year timeline before they can, their two-year deadline to put in an acquisition and de-SPAC with the possibility of a one-year extension. So what kind of possible returns could an investor see if they go into a SPAC at IPO? How long would they need to wait? What kind of timeline are we looking at?
Well, a SPAC has about 24 months generally to put their money to work to find an acquisition target. Beyond that, the merged entity or the de-SPAC would have an investment life of its own. It depends on the particular circumstances in terms of how long it would take for the returns to accrue to the investor.
Okay, what about, you talked earlier about the risks, right? And you've elaborated on some of them. But say for an investor who is completely new to SPAC and still trying to grapple with the whole concept of it, right? What would you advise these investors to look out for if we need to just zoom in on three things?
Investors need to look at the gestation period for the investment. In other words, how long will it take, or will it? How likely is the de-SPAC? In other words, there are some regulatory obstacles, shareholders, opposition to the de-SPAC process. The second is that what is the competitive landscape for the industry that you're investing in? Is it one where there are lots of players, and is the investment that you've identified as a potential target, is it one that is under competitive pressure? And finally, you need to look at not just the management or the credibility of the sponsor, but the ability of the target company's management.
Solid. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nirgunan, for breaking that down. And a very exciting week for markets here in Singapore. We're going to call it Singapore SPAC Week. We've got our first two SPACs set to list on the stock exchange here in Singapore this week. Nirgunan Thiruchelvam, Head of Consumer Equity Research at Telema. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much and best wishes.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.